Good morning. We are here today celebrating, like I said to the kids, celebrating with the church here and all over the world this blessed mystery of this Holy Trinity. And I love that we celebrate it because it really is one of the foundational doctrines of our faith, that we have one God in three persons and three persons in one God. Now, the one thing I want to talk about is that this is, in fact, a mystery. There was a great theologian, J.I. Packer, and I love what he said. He said, the historic doctrine of the Trinity confronts us with perhaps the most difficult thought the human mind has ever been asked to handle. One of the most difficult things we can think about is the fact that God is one person, or three persons in one God, and one God in three persons. I happen to like more what Augustine said many, many centuries ago. Augustine simply said this: if you deny the Trinity, you lose your soul. If you try to explain it, you lose your mind. And we're going to stick with that approach today. The question is, you know, what do you do with this? What do you do with the Holy Trinity on Holy Trinity Sunday? Well, the first thing we've already done is this. We're just going to acknowledge that it is a mystery and celebrate the fact that it's a mystery. I'm so glad that God, in his infinite mercy, his infinite power, doesn't fit into my little brain. The fact that there's things about God that are mysterious to me is such a blessing, so I really appreciate that. The other thing we're going to do is focus on what is it that we do know. God teaches us plenty about himself, and what he teaches us is that he loves us, that he wants us to be with him, that he cares for us. And the last part of that then is simply this: we get to celebrate that all of God loves you. God loves you with his whole being. We get to see some of that all-in nature of God when we get to Matthew 28. The very end of Matthew 28 is a very famous portion of Scripture. It's called the Great Commission. It's when God gives the disciples their marching orders, and he tells them what it is that they're going to be doing, empowered by the Holy Spirit, before he ascends into heaven. Now, before we get to that, there's one part that we don't normally focus on. I just want to spend a minute on this. It's the fact that there were 11 disciples that went to Galilee to the mountain Jesus had directed them. And why were there 11? There were 11 because Judas had betrayed Jesus. Judas passed away. Judas was a really tragic situation. And what we're tempted to think is that this probably wasn't looming large in the minds of the disciples. You know, he'd betrayed everybody, and now he was gone. But that's not at all the case. I'm sure these guys loved Judas. They'd spent 3 years with him. They were heartbroken. They had all these unanswered questions about him and what happened. So they went to this place carrying this burden with them. Somebody was missing. The other thing is, and they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some were struggling with their faith in that moment. And in that moment of difficulty, in that moment of struggling, guess what? God still gave them this great commission. And this is what he says: all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And I just want to touch on a few words here. First off, all authority has been given to God, has been given to Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth. I want you to think for just a second, what would you do if you had all authority in heaven and earth? I tell you what, if I had that, I would like to think that I would do some really wonderful things with it. I would also say this: I know I would be tempted to use some of that authority for my own gain. Don't get me wrong, I love my Toyota, but if I had all authority, I don't think I'd be driving a Toyota. The other thing that's even more than that is, how scared would you be to mess everything up? If all the authority had been given to you in heaven and earth, I would be so afraid in my sinful nature, my selfishness, my pride, my just not having enough wisdom, I would mess everything up. But we know Jesus can handle it. He has all authority in heaven and earth. And so what does he say then? He says to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. When Jesus is given all authority, he uses it to bring all people to him, to bring the nations to him. He wants his authority to be shared for the purpose of bringing people to the grace and the mercy of God, to be in a relationship with God. And we see that when he tells them to baptize, right? Make disciples of all nations and baptize them in what? in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptize them into my whole name. Baptize them into my whole being. I'm going to claim them with all of me claims all of you. I'm all in. And I love that. Then teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. That there's a relationship that we trust God as our Father. We listen to Him. Even the things we can't understand, we put into His grasp. We trust Him. We follow Him. We obey His word. And then He also gives the command that everything, I'm going to be with you always till the very end of the age. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we see this, that God wants us to be in relationship. We go to the creation account, and one of the things I really adore about the creation account is that God speaks all of these things into being, and God is from the beginning. We see He's in relationship with Himself. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right away we see God the Father, God the Spirit there. Everybody's there at the beginning. They've been in eternally with each other in relationship to each other. It's the nature of God to be in relationship. There's never a moment when God has been alone. And that's the thing. When we're made in the image of God, we're made to be in relationship to other people. You know, what's interesting to me is that throughout the creation account, there's the God speaks something into being, then God said, and there was. And then we read throughout the first couple chapters of Genesis, and it was good. The only thing that was not good, that was not complete, is when Adam was made and he was alone. God says it's not good that he's alone. So why did he say that? Because God said, let us, again, he's speaking amongst himself, right? One God, but three persons speaking amongst themselves. Let us make man in our image. Let's make it so that Adam is in relationship. So therefore, we see this first relationship. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. Right away, we see the power of relationship. Now, God creates Adam and Eve in marriage relationship, and that's the most beautiful, intimate thing, husband and wife in this very beautiful marriage relationship. But we're all in relationship. No matter who you are, there are people that are so very important to you. God calls us to live in relationship to others. There's a marriage relationship. There's family. There's friends. There's your church members. There's people that you care about and love that are around you. And the wonderful thing is God created those relationships. We reflect God's image when we're in relationship with other people. What I mean by that, it's so valuable. It's the most valuable thing we have. I'm going to do an experiment here. If I offered that to give you tomorrow $10 million, who would take it? Yeah, I think a lot of us would take it. I'm not doing that, just so you know. I mean, I can offer. But if the only price for that $10 million was from now on through the rest of your life, all of your relationships would be terrible, you wouldn't take it. I guarantee you wouldn't take it. If it was $10 million, $100 million, you wouldn't take it. Relationships are so valuable to us, it doesn't matter what the price would be. There's no price we can put on the value of being in relationship to one another. And that's how God created us to be. And that's how we reflect also God's image in the triune God. God is in relationship with himself. But then what's interesting is that God's in relationship with himself. We're called to be in relationship with each other, but we're also in this beautiful relationship with the God who created us. See, when we talk about the Trinity, the one thing I can say is that every part of God loves you. I want you to think about God the Father for just a minute. God the Father created the world, created the universe that we can't even see the end of, the great expanse of space and time and matter. He created it all, but he created it so that on this little tiny planet called Earth, this little dot, in the galaxy, that you would be there, and that he would love you, and that he would call you his own. That's how much you're loved. We celebrate God the Son. And I want you to think about that for a moment. God the Son, who when we've broken this relationship with God, the Father throwing sinfulness and selfishness, but God is not satisfied with us being apart, so he sends his Son, his eternal Son, into this world, to be born into this world, to live the perfect life you couldn't live in your place, and then to die for your sins in your place, to offer you forgiveness and life and hope and salvation, and then he rises again from the dead to give you eternity. That's what God wants. He wants you to be with him for eternity, and there was no price he wasn't willing to pay to make that a reality. And then we have God, the Holy Spirit, calling us together, enlightening us. When we wander, he calls us back to the gospel in repentance. When we're struggling and we wonder how God could ever love someone like me, he calls us to the gospel to find the hope that never leaves us or forsakes us. See, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit loves you and is in relationship with you. And he calls us then to receive the grace and the mercy of that relationship and then to share that with the people around us. I want to go back to that beginning part of the gospel reading about the 11 disciples going to Galilee, and they're worshiping. Some worshiped him and some doubted. And I know when we come into church today, there's people, maybe you're someone who's your faith is on fire and you feel so great and solid in your faith, and that's awesome. Some of you have come here today with real doubts, deep doubts in your life. And you know what? We need each other. Because when we get up later and confess our faith, you might not be able to speak real loudly. Maybe you're struggling with doubt, but your neighbor is going to speak with you and for you and share that hope with you that this is what we believe. And then there'll be times when you're full of faith and your neighbor is struggling and you'll be the one speaking where they have trouble. See, we're made to be in this relationship with one another. We're going to talk more about this later on in the gym, but I want to mention this. We have a wonderful principal, Laura Boggs, and she is retiring. And it's hard for me to imagine not being able to check in with her every day and go into her office every day and be a partner in ministry with you. I'm so grateful for your friendship and so grateful for all that you do for so many, but the one thing when I think of the Holy Trinity and relationship, you have modeled what it means to be in relationship with so many and share this love of Christ with so many and teach others how to share that love of Christ too. And so there's so much more we're going to say in a little bit, but I wanted to say that while we're here. Thank you for that. As we think about the Holy Trinity, as we think about all that God has done for us and how much he loves us with every part of his being, I want to give you just a minute to reflect, just a minute to think about what does that mean. And you can write something down if you want to write something down, little pads in front. If you want to talk to your neighbor about it, just take a minute to reflect upon God's greatness in the Trinity.